This Week in Agriculture is a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at this week in the markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Another ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran sent crude oil prices lower. According to Ag Bull Trading President Tommy Grisafi, the cost of energy, just one of the many factors that sent grain markets lower to begin the week overnight.
There's enough rain popping around that might get people thinking that the weather forecast is changing. I guess the irony or maybe even anger will happen in the farming community because you have places like Bismarck, North Dakota, setting a record temperature yesterday. And when you look at that Western Belt, you have massive, massive heat in the Western Belt. Markets looked right through that, and they see crude oil down $6, and they see weather changing. And you also have to look at the calendar. So that's what happens when these markets go up as fast as they have. When people hit the exit door, it leaves quite a splash.
Grain and livestock markets opened the week sharply lower, traders reacting to the improving weather, weaker crude, and fresh questions about Chinese demand. Zanner Ag Hedge Vice President Ted Seifried says soybeans led that sell-off.
The heat's moderated a little bit, especially out in the west, but there is a bit more precipitation in there. And especially as we look a little bit further into August, which is really the key for soybeans, the key moisture-sensitive time frame for soybeans during pod set, it's looking like we're going to have some better conditions. So I'd say a big part of why we're heavy today, especially led by soybeans, is because of that better weather outlook. However, you did also have a meeting between Chinese President Xi and Brazilian President Lula, and it was reported on one of the Chinese news agencies that Xi told Lula that China is ready to strengthen strategic coordination with Brazil. And that makes us wonder about what the longer term prospects are of our relationships, our agricultural export relationships are with China.
Global commodity analytics and consulting president Mike Zuzulo said livestock traders need to look beyond Monday's volatility, focus on actual cattle supplies.
Yeah, you know, to me, the USDA border announcement on top of the two biggest reports of probably the last decade to try and figure out what the supply side is going into the second half of the calendar year for U.S. beef production almost guaranteed the extreme volatility we saw on Monday. I'm hoping now we settle down and consider the actual numbers, consider actual supply demand. And what I mean by that, Jamie, is Mexico now is the number four beef exporter, beef, not cattle, to the United States. And it's up almost 30% year over year.
After a sharp sell-off to start the week, grain markets were under pressure throughout the week, off and on. Total Farm Marketing's John Heinberg says, again, weather continues to drive this trade.
We're seeing big selling pressure in the soybean market. We went now testing some downside support. November beans around this 1195 area. It's kind of maybe a little bit of a line in the sand that doesn't hold. I think there is some room for this thing to continue to slide back. Now, why are we seeing the selling pressure today? Beans are made in August. We have a very good forecast in terms of for crop development sitting out there on the table right now for this weekend. We're looking at decent rainfall coverage being forecasted for the Corn Belt, the majority of the Corn Belt from the Dakotas all the way through to Indiana over the next handful of days. That materializes, the bean crop and the market size is going to be in pretty good shape.
Total Farm Marketing's John Heinberg, weather continuing to play a factor in the markets throughout the week. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
The North Dakota mill has been producing northern-grown spring wheat and durum flour since 1922. The mill now adds value to more than 30 million bushels per year. North Dakota mill employees take pride in the highest quality spring wheat and durum wheat products for the baking and pasta industries. Look for Dakota-made flour in 5, 10, and 25-pound packages, as well as pancake and bread machine mixes. Spring wheat and durum flour, superior quality, is what separates the North Dakota mill from the competition. On air and online, the Red River Farm Network is reporting agriculture's business. RRFN.com has news headlines, weather, and markets, all as close as your PC or smartphone. The Red River Farm Network also keeps you up to date on Facebook and our weekly e-newsletter, FarmNet News. Sign up today at RRFN.com. From the farm field to Capitol Hill, from the tractor cab to the coffee shop, the Red River Farm Network, reporting agriculture's business.
With a look at this week in news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. National Cattlemen's Beef Association welcomed USDA's decision to begin reopening the Mexican border to cattle imports August 24th. NCBA CEO Colin Woodall says the industry has been waiting for a clear timeline.
Knew it was inevitable, but all we have been asking for is a timeline and a plan, and now we have. The timeline is August 24th. We'll start at the westernmost port in Douglas, Arizona. And as we see that process get carried out, be able to pressure test it, then they will start working eastward towards the other ports. So to be able to have a plan, to be able to have a phased-in opening is something that NCBA is very supportive of.
Minnesota State Cattlemen's Association President Jake Thompson realizes the border reopening was inevitable, but questions the timing of the announcement.
Especially after a semi-positive cattle on feed report on Friday, it'll be very interesting to see how the markets react today. You know, the way it looks, it will be kind of interesting to see how many cattle actually come across, because, I mean, the way it looks, the Mexico themselves over the last year have invested quite a bit in the infrastructure within their country for feeding and processing cattle. And so, I'll be curious to see how this does affect everything.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins made a trip to Douglas, Arizona ahead of the reopening of the port of entry to Mexican cattle. Rollins taking the opportunity to announce an investment of $25 million in a new sterile fly facility in Arizona, described as a way to strengthen the infrastructure needed protect farmers and ranchers.
If we're not able to preserve our ranching, our farming, our rural America, this way of life, we will lose freedom as we know it, and that is how important this is. It is existential.
The window to advance Farm Bill 2.0 narrowing as the Senate races towards its August recess. Washington analyst Jim Wiesmeyer says one of the biggest questions remains whether Senator Mitch McConnell will return in time for the committee vote.
Yeah, let me bash the Senate a little bit. They've had a long time to do what they need to do, and they just didn't do it. They have not even approved one appropriations bill for fiscal year 2027 that starts October 1. And we've been lingering on Farm Bill 2.0 for a long time. With that in mind, Senate Ag Chairman John Bozeman, Republican from Arkansas, he now says he's targeting the week of August the 3rd, that means next week, for the Farm Bill 2.0 markup in the committee. Now, that's just before they leave August the 7th for their summer recess.
USDA's decision to reverse the planned elimination of the prevented plant 5% buy-up option is being praised by farm groups.
Yeah, it's not quite to the 10% that it was back in 2018, the additional 10%, but right now with the cost of inputs and everything being so high, getting that extra coverage means a lot to our growers.
That's Kyle Jory, who farms at Thief River Falls and serves as vice president of the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association. USDA's action does not apply to farmers who purchase prevent plant for the current year. The threat of new tariffs on Chinese glyphosate imports off the table as the U.S. International Trade Commission formally closed the trade case. Monsanto and Ruveon withdrew their petitions after strong opposition from corn, soybean, and wheat groups, which warned higher duties would drive up herbicide costs for farmers already facing tight margins. The decision means no new glyphosate-specific tariffs will be imposed, preserving competition from generic imports and helping keep input costs in check. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Boost your crop's health with Domark 230 ME and Badge SC fungicide exclusively from Gowan USA. Domark's systemic action teams up with Badge's outstanding mixing properties for unbeaten disease control on sugar beets and dried edible beans. Experience the power of two different modes of action with Domark and Badge. Don't wait. Contact your local ag retailer and ask about Domark 230 ME and Badge SC. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan USA.
Harvest Hotline brings you daily updates with farmers, custom harvesters, elevator managers, and more. Get the latest on harvest progress, yields, and what's happening in the field. Harvest Hotline can be heard weekdays at 12:37 during Agriculture Today. Harvest Hotline brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, North Dakota Mill, and U.S. Custom Harvesters. We're the Red River Farm Network, reporting agriculture's business. With a look at this week in weather, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. 68% of the U.S. dealing with abnormal dryness or drought. That's up nearly 3% from last week. 42% of spring wheat acres are impacted. That's up 18%, the largest week-over-week increase since August of 2018. 78% of North Dakota is abnormally dry or droughty, a 25% increase from last week. North Dakota's northern tier of counties and south-central portion of the state, the only ones not dry. According to the Drought Monitor, nearly 95% of Minnesota is in some measurement of drought, up 9% from the previous week. Nearly 90% of South Dakota is abnormally dry to extreme drought. Dry conditions continue to challenge crops across much of the Corn Belt, including Nebraska. But West Point agronomist Jacob Gubel says today's genetics and improved management practices are helping many fields withstand the stress better than ever before.
A lot of people say genetics, and you go, hey, that's been a big step up, without a doubt. But in the end, you know, I think it's a testament to our farmers and how far they've come and how much better we've gotten. You can go to someone's field who's doing an excellent job, right fertility, right game plan, and, you know, you can definitely see that field stand out from the other one across the road, but might not be getting that. And it could be the same number. So in the end, it's really the growers who's really, you know, just increase that ability for their crop to hang on. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, you know, a lot of good growers who did a great job giving their crop the ability to hang on.
Parts of the northern Red River Valley picked up heavy rainfall Thursday night. Western Trail County did not, largely left out, according to Mayville area farmer Brett Cole.
Yeah, well, kind of a swing and a miss in Trail County, or at least Western Trail County for us last night or late yesterday. I don't know. Stuff is holding on. I don't know. Maybe it looks like it's holding on better than it is, especially when you look in some of these soybean fields. Pod counts and stuff aren't looking real promising. So, yeah, it's got some challenges, and much forecast just doesn't seem to want to rain for us.
Rainfall brought some welcome relief to parts of west central Minnesota, but the latest storms did little to erase the wide differences in crop conditions across the region. Breckenridge area farmer Jerry Nordick says wheat harvest has started in scattered fields. Wappen and Breckenridge area picking up about an inch of rain in the latest storm.
You go north of us, or north of town, I would say 15 miles, and from there north, it wasn't as much. Fargo, I understand, only had about 700. So a lot of the area that really, really desperately, it's only had about an inch and a quarter since they planted the crop, didn't get much from what I'm hearing.
Heavy rainfall delivering some much-needed moisture to parts of northeast South Dakota, although some areas received far more than they expected. Heaver, South Dakota farmer Louie Nigg says rainfall totals varied in short distances.
Well, yeah, we almost prayed for rain, and we didn't specify how much, because anywhere from 6 to 7 to 8, 9, 10, 11, with, you know, talking to a few neighbors within a 10-mile radius. So it's went from praying for rain. Now we are wanting sunshine and heat again. So
harvest is beginning in northwest Minnesota. Rye combining underway near Carlstead. While rainfall has been below normal this season, crops have generally held up well, thanks to some timely June moisture. That's according to Carlstead area farmer Justin Dagan, who says conditions have been better than many expected there. With a look at this week in weather, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Hey, sugar beet growers, visit your Amity Technology dealer. Make your best deal on the already discounted Amity sugar beet cart and get a $10,000 credit for Amity parts. The sugar beet cart from Amity is a field-proven solution engineered for all field conditions. You'll keep going when others have to slow down or stop. Find your dealer at amitytech.com and snag that $10,000 parts credit with your purchase of the 35-ton Amity sugar beet cart.
World Weather Incorporated senior meteorologist Drew Lerner is your trusted source for agricultural weather. From the Northern Plains,
we do expect some showers to develop and a couple of thunderstorms. The majority of the meaningful rain, though, is going to be in southern Canada.
To South America,
Buenos Aires, La Pampa, and Cordoba, but it doesn't occur until we get into next week, leaving plenty of time for changes in the forecast.
Drew Lerner, only on the Red River Farm Network. We're reporting agriculture's business.